T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is OMF on EEI.
But I am told from Julio's side, he's looking for two things, among others. He wants to go to a contender, and he wants to go to a team with a big arm quarterback. He still believes he's the best deep threat in the league. He wants a guy who can chuck at 60, 70 yards, and he can get underneath it.
Indianapolis.
Chicago, new quarterback, but they got a young quarterback. You know, Minnesota, no. Tennessee, no.
I've been told that the Titans have had conversations with Atlanta, but in terms of realistically happening, a source shared with me, it most likely will not happen with the Tennessee Titans. It always could.
Ian Rappaport, Diana Russini, there is reporting actually going on right now. Crap sheet, blue check mark, sources, colon. The Falcons are trading all-pro wide receiver Julio Jones to the Titans in exchange for at least a second-round pick, a blockbuster for Tennessee.
Turns out it was a second and a fourth, and they send back a sixth-round draft pick. This is Peter King. In the end, the Falcons made a deal with the only team that was really serious about obtaining Jones. The market for Jones wasn't as hot as the Falcons thought it would be. Baltimore was interested before the draft, but with Sammy Watkins arriving in free agency and Rashad Bateman and Tylan Wallace coming in the rounds one and four in the draft, they dropped out. New England never had serious interest in committing $38 million to a 32-year-old receiver. Jeff Howard pretty much told us that before, said they were interested in the player. But the money?
No, that to me was obvious. That is not a deal the Patriots do.
No.
A guy at that age with no proven quarterback, with no, like, not being the missing piece at a, if he was a cornerback and he was 27, 28, yeah. And that was the difference between, like, your defense being good to being great and unstoppable. Yeah, but not Julio Jones at 32 years old coming off a bunch of injuries where you know it's only going to get worse.
Well, especially
why not? He had one injury, had a hamstring last year. He's 32. He's not 35. What are we talking about? He's $11 million the next 2 years.
You think that?
What the hell's the problem with that?
I actually think they don't even need him.
Oh, God.
He would be a waste of money.
Oh, stop it. You're crazy about that.
Look who's throwing the ball.
I can't argue that.
It's a waste of money. Like, why would you? It's like, might as well take all your money, throw it over a cliff. Throw it over the cliff.
I can't argue that.
This is stupid. So let's get a high-end receiver and not get him the ball.
When you get a receiver of that caliber, you can, he can help that team. He makes them a better team. Here's the problem. I'm not sure he's worth it.
You're stuck in second gear the whole
time. The money
time.
Part of it you can make an argument for at his age. Plus, he's hinting around that he wants to redo a deal because after this year, he only has $2.9 million guaranteed money over the next two seasons. So if that's the case, and he comes into your team and suddenly he plays well in that first year because he's only 32, but he wants money for 33, 34, 35, guaranteed money, then you have an issue.
See, the thing is like, okay, why not? He'd make you better. Well, of course. Like, technically, yes, he's a stud, and I'm sure he's still got 2 years. Fine. It's a waste. It's a wasted opportunity, and we always have to go back to not whether they should or shouldn't, but would the Patriots, do they have that type of appetite? Do they have any history of getting a guy like this at that much money unless they completely rework the deal, cut his salary, add a bunch of incentives? Just look at what they do to their own Hall of Fame players. What makes you think they wouldn't treat some guy that they don't know that's never worn a Patriots jersey, like ever give him some sort of sweetheart deal?
Didn't they extend Randy Moss?
Yes.
When he was 31?
Yes.
But 32. Different to him. Okay. After that second, no, but
so
he was in.
That?
He was in.
Yeah.
That
didn't work out.
You're gonna, Do you think Randy Moss and Julio Jones are even close to being similar as far as the situations that they were in? One was that they actually got a year basically free play by Randy Moss based on the contract that they have from him. So then they rewarded him and they cut him 2 years later.
Oh, I know. So it didn't work out. But when you say they don't do that, so they learn from their mistakes. It was a mistake. 3 years, 27. So we're never going to do that again. And we're not going to go after, you know, this guy. Like, should I mean, I thought we were all in on Julio Jones. Now they don't get him. Like, it was smart.
Who said they were? Who was all in?
I thought we were all in. I thought you wanted Julio Jones.
I said the only reason
too.
Why I wanted him, so that would mean that Cam Newton would be out as quarterback.
Well, they have the worst wide receiver room in all of football. They really do. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 29th or 30th, 31st in that range. So it's like all of a sudden now it's too much money. I mean, it's $15 million. We're talking about, you know, 11 the next 2 years after that. Like, they have the money, the cap space. Cap's going up. You have no wide receivers. None. You don't think this would make Mac Jones' life a little bit better the next couple of years?
I think it would make Cam Newton's life better. And I hate to say that because we already know how
inaccurate
he was throwing.
Whoever the hell's quarterback is going to make his life better.
Yes. You
know, Julio Jones. Aguilar on the other side, two good tight ends. Yeah, they needed him. Yeah, they should have got him. They should have got him.
Okay, so what do you think as far as what it cost the Titans?
A second and a fourth?
I don't think that's a lot.
You get a sixth back?
No, when they wanted, everybody wants a first round pick.
They gave up a second rounder for Mohamed Sanu. I mean, I don't think that's such a big deal.
No, it's not.
I was selfishly a yes based on. I just don't see it this year with this quarterback room.
But it's not about this year.
I don't see it next year.
So you get two more years.
So fine.
He had a hamstring problem last year. That's about it. He always plays hurt.
On Julio Jones. I think this is the time.
Because he's not here now?
No. Are you not listening to me?
I'm going to go Fitzy on you.
Are you not listening right now?
You're Fitzy right now.
How am I? Oh, so
if they traded a second,
I'm Homer.
You would have thought I'm in the greatest move ever.
You're not making any sense right now. So I'm Homer Fitzy.
If the Patriots announced that they traded for Julio Jones, give up a second and fourth, we'd be all talking about how great it is, how this wide receiver room is now really, really good, and how Mac Jones is going to make it even better for him. And even if it's Cam, he's going to be better too.
Yeah.
Now they don't get him, and it's a smart move.
Yeah. I'm a no on it.
And the only reason why I was a yes is strictly because of how I thought would affect. See, now you're going to make me.
Right,
you're going to make me, you know what, you, the whole way.
This just in, I'm dead inside.
I wanted the guy. Come on, what are we doing?
It makes you a better team.
No,
it does.
But he would be your number one receiver. I think the reason they didn't do it, and they do stay consistent, you got to give them credit for that, is they didn't want to pay the money, especially if he was already hinting that he wanted a new deal.
I think there's probably like two or three, you know, times where the Patriots surprised everybody by players that they signed. Can you name a couple of them where you're like,
Revis.
Oh my God,
Stephon
Revis,
Gilmore.
Definitely.
Yeah. Moss.
Gilmore.
Well, but even Moss Gilmore. Moss was like a, you know, Revis
no,
was a, no. in the prime of his career.
No, I think
Moss
I was more, like that. A, I was more
disgruntled in Oakland.
I was more excited for probably Moss. When they got, Randy Moss was coming.
You mean
in.
When
Moss
they got, when like, they got Randy Moss?
Yeah.
No, when they got Randy Moss,
I wasn't surprised by that.
He was damaged goods.
Oh, I know, but
he
I'm
was
still
damaged
excited.
Goods.
Revis, prime of his career.
Revis.
Julio Jones right now is not damaged goods. You could argue that he's 32, and you just said it's only a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
But there was a big difference. There was question whether Randy Moss even enjoyed playing the game anymore.
Yeah. I would say
it was
Revis.
A much different situation.
Gilmore was a shocker.
Yeah.
Day one.
This is a good question. If you're Stephon Gilmore, and they didn't go out and spend the money on Julio Jones, and they have $15 million remaining hanging around on the cap, what are you thinking today?
Pay me.
Well, I think out of all the things that are going to get done, they're going to fix his salary situation. I think he has the makings of being a problem. Like, I'm going to Aaron Rodgers.
So I'll tell you what. And we've done this before, right? I'm not going to go like they didn't pay him because they want to pay, you know, Steph Gilmore. And that could be the case. Because we did this back when they're like, oh, who are you going to keep? You know, remember, was it Hightower, Chandler Jones, the wide receiver? I mean, the other linebacker they traded to Cleveland. Who's that kid? Remember, it was like, you can't keep Maul. Had to trade Chandler Jones. Can't keep Maul. And then they didn't keep anybody.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't pay anybody. So, if they're sitting there saying, okay, we need to cut some of this money from Julio Jones because we got to sweeten the pot here for Gilmore. And maybe they get him for another couple years. Then I would say, okay. But there's no guarantee on that. We said this before. If they go and get him for $15 million, Gilmore's going to be like, really?
Yeah.
Really? But if you don't sign him, there's a lot of cap there, Bill. There's a lot of money there. Why don't you throw me another 7 or 8? Why don't you double my salary next year? Because he should be doing that, shouldn't he? Gilmore,
See, I think
absolutely he should be doing that.
Yes, he should. Yeah. And that's why I think that, okay, so last year Jamie was kind of like, I thought it was Jabal Sheer, too. That's another
all
guy
that
ended up going
they had
to
like
Cleveland,
four
right?
And even Kraft's like, well, we can't pay everybody. Yeah. Well, he didn't pay anyone. Yeah.
No, because the thing last year with Gilmore, I think, was just almost like, let me put my foot in the water and see what the temperature is going to be like when I really decide to go all in. Because last year, he was kind of flirting with it. It was like the house issue, you know, the rumors before camp started.
The tweets.
And just all these little hints that he was throwing out there. But he wasn't really committing to getting really down and dirty. But you can obviously say he was like almost convincing himself, okay, to get prepared for it. But I think it happens now. It happens this offseason, this summer.
If they can take this money, because we all said that they probably wouldn't give him the deal he's looking for. But at 30, well, Gilmore's what, 31? You know, if you kind of add a little something sauce to this year and add another two, then I would say, okay, I'm good. Bring Gilmore back for a couple more years.
So what do you think the Patriots are thinking? Because all they did was move money from this upcoming season to last season. So he's left now with $7.5 million. Now, do they look
that's
at it
that's
got to
be 14 somehow.
Right. Do they look at it and say, hey, that was all part of the contract. That was all part of the deal. We already gave you the money. And what is his reaction to it? The one thing I think that holds this thing off or gives it some time is he got injured at the end of last season. So it's not like he could sit there and say, I could go somewhere else, and another team's going to pay me. You're coming off of an injury, and your age right now, teams are going to be a little bit hesitant about doing something, and maybe that's why they couldn't trade him away. Maybe they tried to trade him away, which I think what we all thought they were going to attempt to do. Maybe they did.
Sometimes I think, like, you know, instead of them, they're so just hell-bent on not letting anyone dictate terms for them. I do think they rather say, screw it. Let this guy be somebody else's problem. We'll just deal with it, you know, when the time comes. They'd rather trade a guy like that.
So suppose the Aaron Rodgers deal, because you already said it. Let's say they say to him, hey, why don't you just go out and have a great year? You're going to get $7.5 million. You got some incentives for a few other things. Have a great year. And then you go into free agency next year at age 32. You go into free agency, and now you can make all your money back from somebody else. Does he accept that, get motivated by it, go out and have a great season at $7.5 million? Or does he basically say F you and he pulls an Aaron Rodgers?
I think it depends on what do you have the stomach for.
See, I would say that I thought he was going to be traded earlier in the offseason. It never happened. Maybe at the draft, it never happened. Maybe this Julio Jones, as far as the money goes. To me, it makes more sense because I think Bill Belichick absolutely loves the number one corner. And that's when his football teams win. And I think they hook him up. I think they keep him around for a couple more years. Yeah. And I don't think he gets like a 4-year deal that he's looking for, but you never know, because we know what 4-year deals look like. So they could throw a 3-year extension on top of it, where we really know it's like a 1 or 2 year deal, because the last year is not guaranteed. I actually think, as much as I want Julio Jones, Steph Gilmore's more important to this football team than Julio Jones is.
Great minds think alike.
He is. I mean, he needs a number one corner.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on with J.C. Jackson. Right, you don't know what the hell's going on there. You want to pay him like what? He's not a number one corner. This kid is.
Right.
He absolutely is. So you pass on Julio Jones, fine. Throw him another $7 million this year and maybe tack on another year or two and keep him here until he's 32, 33 years old.
Well, that's what they're saying right now in Tennessee. They're sitting there saying, okay, we got another number one wide receiver. We have a number one running back. Quarterback's pretty damn good.
They got a good number two wide receiver too, though.
Number two wide receiver. But what is our defense like? Whoa. We're going to have to score a lot of points because our defense is not real good. So, and then they've got to spend money on the defensive side of the ball.
No, I think as far as I think the Gilmore thing will happen and it'll just be announced. There won't be any, hey, rumor has it, hey, they're doing this. No.
They got to pay him now.
No.
They haven't moved him yet. They got to pay him. They got to pay him. He ain't playing at $7 million, $7.5 million.
I don't see how he does that.
They're going to pay him. They're going to do like they do. They always do it with Chung.
Right.
They throw him a little bone every once in a while. You hear that all the time once in a while. They kind of just throw an extra whatever to a lineman or somebody that they like, and they just extend it a little bit. They'll do something with him to keep him in uniform the next couple of years.
Yeah. That's what I think they try to do. And the only option he has is to play out this year with what he presently has, and then try to get a big score. But who's going to get a big score?
But I wanted Julio. Good
as he is, he's a Hall of Fame guy.
Damn, I wanted Julio.
Okay, how is he going to get a big score at age 32?
No, too bad. He's going to block more than he runs routes.
So let me just throw this out, because you guys have already heard it, and everybody has heard it, the rumors of what has happened with this hand injury to Cam Newton. I'm not even going to justify the by giving the handle of the guy that threw it out there. I will if the guy proves to be credible and it proves to be correct. But we have no knowledge of it. And I would think, and Christian and I were talking about it during the break, I would think
what
if
was
he got into a fight,
oh, fight.
In a restaurant, mm-hmm. okay, in a fairly prominent restaurant. It's not, you know, some sleazy bar or
Let's
whatever.
Let's keep it 100.
If he did that, you don't think there would be more people now who would have either seen it or have heard it through a second source or an employee, somebody that works at the restaurant? We know how this thing works. Once something happens, within 24 hours, especially with social media, it is everywhere.
I would agree.
And we're not seeing
especially
that,
Especially once somebody kind of brings it up. You know, sometimes a lot of people sit and say, I got this info, whatever. I saw what happened. I don't want to go there, though, whatever, whatever. But the minute somebody goes with it and says, hey, you know, he didn't hurt his hand on a helmet. He hurt his hand in a fight at a restaurant. You would think so. And once it's out of the bag, people are like, yeah, by the way, I saw it, too. Right. Well, by the way, I got a so-and-so cousin that's like a, you know, waiter there or whatever, right? But the problem is that it doesn't seem like anybody kind of... I thought they said that he hurt his thumb. I thought somebody saw that and how he did it. Was it like a pad as they were like trying to throw in the pads and he hit his hand on the pad? But I don't know.
I thought it was on somebody's helmet.
Well, that's what I mean. So now it's like, are they trying to find out? No one really saw when this happened.
I don't think anybody saw.
And when that's the case, that's why you get stories like this.
I heard Mike Reese say that the other day.
Yeah, Fourier told us. This is what he used to do all the time.
Yeah.
Hurt himself in the offseason and show up day one and go, my ankle.
You did. And they paid for
my knee.
They paid for surgery. Right?
You did it though, right?
The key is to get hurt on the premises.
Yeah.
That is the
key.
So
you tweak your knee, or if you show up at camp, first play, like, oh, my knee.
No.
Or if you get hurt off the premises.
I did it twice to one team.
Get your ass on the premises so that you can cash in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mike Reese said he didn't see it. And he didn't know anybody else that actually saw it. And yet he was over at the sideline with the trainer.
Then what are we supposed to make of Fitzy's, tweets? You know, is that just one of those things where, you know, don't pay it any mind? It's just...
What was it?
Well, Fitzy said that he got in a fight with Brandon Carlo, didn't he? I think that's what he said, no?
You bumbling drunk fool.
Right.
I thought he said Tuukka's Dunsky. No?
Close.
So nobody saw him hit his hand on the helmet.
Right.
The right hand is a problem, though it's not a break. So it's not that big a deal. He's not going to be out for a long period of time. And other people are trying to figure it out. And so somebody has come up with this idea that maybe he got into a fight at a bar.
No, Chris Curtis was reading some text messages from somebody, you know, at the restaurant, I guess, that saw it. And, you know,
claims they saw it.
Yeah.
That's
and that was it had nothing to do, I guess, with
pleasure to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
With Cam Newton directly, but indirectly with somebody he was with who had gotten something stolen from them. And
a
that
purse or something.
Yeah.
Right?
And that became and that's how the fight kind of went down.
It's like a pretty good restaurant. And you would think that they probably don't have a lot of purse snatching going on at that restaurant.
Well, they kind of bring one of those little hooks right there and they kind of put your purse right there? Somebody just comes snatch it right
away.
By the way,
isn't this restaurant mostly a steakhouse? I thought he was a vegetarian.
Well, I mean, I guess he can eat. Yeah, what
they
can
fish.
He eat
they have fish there.
So I'll tell you, Fitzy tweeted that guy talking about the fight and he says, can't 100% confirm this, but bleep went down for the Pats quarterback number one at Mastro's this past week.
Well, so he can't confirm it, but something happened?
Something happened.
That doesn't make any sense.
I can't confirm anything.
That
he hurt his thumb there, but something definitely happened.
Okay.
One finger, one thumb.
Which one? Which finger was it?
I don't think it was the finger, the thumb.
I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah, well, if he was defending his female companion and.
I'd like
for
him to be 100%.
Then, you know, you can't blame him for that.
And I want him to lose his job because he is 100% and he just realized he can't throw a football. That's what I want. I don't want any more excuses. Well, Cam was fine. He had the book and everything, just he had his thumb and he missed all his time. So what do you expect? And then they changed the playbook and all the verbiage on him and in one day. So, I mean, he's behind again. Like, he's always behind. No, I don't want that anymore. I want him 100% out there every single day and just realize he can't play.
You think they changed all the verbiage this week? Change it all again on him. We found that Jason Tatum has a big, huge fan, a gigantic fan. And this guy carries some credibility. We'll tell you about it coming up next right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keep up with Glenn on Twitter at Glenn D. Ordway.
That guy on the radio is crazy. He's out of his freaking mind.
We return to OMF on WEEI.
I wonder what he adds and how he gets better, besides just like he's doing what he's doing better. Yeah. There's little things, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, he has it all. At this point for him, it's just about like continuing to learn the game, like how a game's supposed to be played. And being asked to do so much is only going to make him better. Yeah. You know, I know Jalen was out this series, but having a guy like, all right, Jason, for us to even have a chance to win this game, you got to score a high number of points for us. And he went out there and made it a point after game two to be aggressive to the rim, to get to his spot. I mean, I respect him.
That is Kevin Durant. And you know who he's talking about? He's talking about Jason Tatum. It's interesting because if you watched any of the NBA coverage over the weekend, you'll see that somebody like Ja Morant is getting a lot more conversation than Jason Tatum. I mean, they're taking Ja Morant now and putting him way the hell up here. Luka Doncic, even though they lost, it was seven games against a team that people think can win the whole thing in the Los Angeles Clippers. And yesterday in the game seven, first game seven for him, he contributed between points and assists. He contributed on 77 points of the Mavericks. His team is just not good enough. So Tatum doesn't seem to be getting that great respect. So listen to this when Durant continues on talking about Tatum. And listen to the other names he puts in to the same sentence.
I think I did a solid job on it.
He got the spin, which might have been a push. I don't know. I'm on your side.
I mean, no, that was a great move. Jason Tatum, I mean, guarding him the whole playoffs so far. I've been in the league for 13, 14 years, and, like, I started to, like, tally mark, you know, the matchups and series and the players that I played against. And when I had conversations with my friends, I'm like, I had series against Kobe, LeBron, Tim Duncan, the Memphis Grizzlies, like, Jason Tatum is in that conversation now because he's you know, that elite level of player already at 23, and I'm like, all right, I can see where this going. You know what I'm saying? It was an honor to play against him.
I can understand Duncan, Kobe, Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis? I'm not sure how that fits in.
Someone explain the Memphis Grizzlies.
No, I don't know. He just threw it in there. Right?
The most random team.
Wait, Kobe, LeBron, Duncan, the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It must have been a tough series.
It's that grit and grind Grizzlies.
Where
did that come from? Zach Randolph is tough, man.
But it's a big compliment coming from him. Obviously, no question. He's 23 years old. The guy put up, what, 50, 40, 30 on him the last three games?
And he talked in this podcast, he talked about the long arms and how that presents problems defensively, how good he is defensively. He went on and on. And the reason I'm bringing it up is maybe because all of these other young stars in the league have moved on to the next round. They're getting all of the credit right now. And you know, Tatum is almost like an afterthought, you know?
Well, to me, I don't even know if either one of those guys knew exactly how young Tatum was. And I think the most important thing is, you know, the talent's obviously there. It's just going to be about the mindset. It's going to be how important it is to him, what he's willing to give up, who he's willing to piss off. That's going to be the difference in his game.
Pissing off is a big part of it, and you're already seeing it with Trae Young. So Trae Young in his first series goes up against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden with a nearly full capacity, and he basically tells them they can all F off.
Yeah.
Right to their face. Spider Lee in the first row, okay? Then yesterday, he goes into Philadelphia, and you could make the argument that Embiid is injured. Embiid put up 39 points, and I think he had 14 rebounds. Yeah. He played a hell of a game, and yet the Hawks won. Why? Because Trae Young doesn't give a rat's ass. He is, he's got those competitive juices or whatever. And I think you compare that to Tatum. Maybe it's unfair because of the different personalities, but I just think you see more when you see a Ja Morant, when you see a Trae Young. And again, it may not be really fair to
Tatum. Well, I mean, I think, you know, they, they talk about this in this whole interview as far as just, you know, the maturity. Like, he's gonna have such a wealth of experience by the time he's 25 as far as the matchups that he's had, the conference championships that he's been in, even though he's lost them all. He's never, you know, gotten to the finals. But he has so much just, you know, game time, you know equity, you know, playoff equity, call it, you know, that he can draw from when he's 25. And at 25, I mean, he's still a baby, but he's going to be so just seasoned.
Well, I like what he says, that he's got to continue to learn the game.
Yeah.
And how it's played. But, you know, and part of it is, he talks about good passes and everything else. Part of it is just kind of who he's with. And, I mean, in that series there, he wasn't really with anybody, right? I mean, there's no Jalen, there's no Kemba up there for the last couple of games. So you sort of like...
Yeah, that hurt him.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we always ask him to be a distributor, you know, a playmaker. And, you know, with Jaylen Brown, sure, he can be. But it's like early in the year, we kept bitching about him, like, you know, move the ball, move the to who? I got Shemmy open in the corner. I'm going to kick the ball over to him. You know what I mean? If he kept deferring to Marcus Smart, we'd be like, no, I'd rather see him take the shot. So I think he needs, you know, Jalen and that somebody else, and maybe Kemba can be that guy. But I just like the fact he's like, learn the game. He's still young. He's still very young. And I think we forget about it.
Yeah. So I would say this, that Brad Stevens better pick a coach in a hurry, because you're going to see some of the names that we brought up last week get hired. Orlando has fired their coach. Portland has fired their coach. Already we heard
Dallas should fire their coach.
Yeah, they're not. They won't fire him, I don't believe, in Carlisle. But all of the names we talked about, they're going to get hired pretty quickly, guys. There's going to be a quick surge now to try to bring these guys in. He doesn't have much time. If you want one of these guys that are out there, unless he's got somebody else on his mind that is totally off the rails here, they're going to have to hurry.
I'm trying to figure out this whole Jason Kidd Portland Trailblazer thing. So he took himself out of the running for the Blazers job because he got an endorsement from Damian Lillard, him feel uncomfortable.
That's what he said.
Makes no sense.
Uncomfortable pursuing the opening because of what because the star player wants him to be the coach.
Makes no sense.
To me, it's like Jason Kidd doesn't want the job. He doesn't want the job at Portland for some reason. Why would that? You would sit there like you think Tyronn Lue is sitting there going, "Oh, you know, LeBron wants me to coach his team again. I don't want anything to do with it because of that." I would have been interested if he didn't come out and publicly say he wanted to. Like, to me, it's like it just makes no sense. So Kidd just doesn't want the Portland job, and he's just making an excuse. Does that excuse make any sense
to
you at all?
Zero.
No, the star player wants you to be the coach, so that makes you uncomfortable and take yourself out of the running.
I think you hit on it, and that is the next. To a team he coaches, he wants to have a shot at winning the championship. Portland is a cute
little kid. Portland
is a cute little team with a superstar in Lillard. But, you know, McCollum is okay. He's a good player, not a great player. But
it's not like you're talking about Phil Jackson trying to find the right spot to come back. This is Jason Kidd, for God's sakes. The star player wants you to be the coach. You should go to Portland, right? Well, I was hoping he would, so we wouldn't take him out of the running here in Boston, because I want nothing to do with the guy.
I'm with you there. How about the people that are already bringing up the fact that Boston has got to go out and get Lillard and give up Jaylen Brown? I would sit here and be ecstatic if they could get Lillard, because I love him. I think he's a great player. But he is, here we go again, another 32-year-old guy, right? He's 31, 32. I would love it if you could get him and you could keep both Tatum and Brown. But you can't do that. You've got to give up Brown to do it, and you're getting an older player. So you're literally giving up like 7 years, and you have a short window.
Yeah, is that the adult in the room? Is that your version of Chris Paul?
Yes.
I would have absolutely no problem with Damian Lillard coming.
No, great. Me neither.
He'd absolutely great. No problem. But I don't know why you wouldn't want him.
Because
he's 31? Because he's going to be 31 next year?
Yeah, so? Because I think you're dealing with the same problem you have in Portland.
Well, you stick with the youth movement here? Is that what we're doing? Stick with the youth movement?
No, I don't think it makes you much better.
You don't think Damian Lillard makes you much better? I think he's an absolute beast.
Without Jaylen Brown, I don't.
All right. You'd rather have Bradley Beal?
Beal's younger. Beal's 28 years old, right?
Okay, well, I'm good.
I think he's 28.
I don't care if they're 2-3 years older.
I'm getting a younger. Listen, if Lillard was 28 years old, I'd be all over this
right now.
He's
30. What the hell's the difference? It's 2 years. Who's the better player?
I would say that Lillard's the better player right now. He's the better all-around player. And he is as clutch as you're going to find. I mean, he makes just unbelievable shots. But
I don't get how you're a no on Lillard, even though you think he's a better player, but he doesn't make the team better.
Because I think
the team
much better.
Where's the confrontation? Where's the conflict?
Because there's a very short window to operate in.
Well, you're going to give everything up. What do you think?
No, five years?
No. Less than that.
Why?
Listen, as long as he's not Kemba Walker.
He's a smaller guard. So you're dealing with a player that those players seem to go a lot quicker.
He's 5'10". 5'11".
He's not 5'10". He's not. Right. He's not like your guy, Kemba.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, he's 30 years old. I don't worry about it at all.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a lot better if you could deal Kemba and a couple of other guys. And obviously, you can't do it. I mean, everybody's trying to
all day long
deal Kemba. But I do love the player. I just think, you know, that gives you such a short window. So does it make you a more interesting team, Lou?
Listen, I stopped worrying about this window.
It makes you more fun.
You're a better team. Yeah. This window that we keep talking about, what's this window? The window's two or three years.
It's not even real anymore. There is no window.
Honestly, it's like 2 or 3 years before you're just rebooting everything all over again. So, yeah, while you got Tatum here, give him Lillard. Absolutely. This window, what's the window? What are we trying to build, a championship team for the next 10 years?
Yeah, I'm not sure you can do that. So maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's better to get a guy that's going to make you better.
The next 3 or 4 years.
We got a window.
He's certainly more entertaining. There's no question about it. And he'll win some big games for you at the end when you think you're done.
Absolutely.
When you're done skiing a game. But I don't think it makes you a championship contender. So it does make you more fun.
Get you closer.
And more interesting. Slightly closer, probably. Mm-hmm. That probably has, I would say that is accurate. We started by talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees. Major League, and we're going to get to a little bit more of them. Plus, we can now tell you that Major League Baseball apparently is going to crack down on the guys that are rubbing the baseballs with some type of substance. What does it all mean? We'll get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
All right, here we go. On Twitter, at Christian Fourier.
What's up, mother?
Who's been right more than me? Don't answer that.
Back to OMF.
On WEEI.
How difficult is it to just show up knowing that things are just going on in the game and no one's doing anything?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when MLB talk about it in the off season, we wonder how are we going to go about it, right? Like, they're collecting baseballs and just watching games and reading data. It's something that everybody's talking about. It, you know, the league, I don't know when they're going to take action. I do believe when they get to these investigations, as you guys know, they have a plan and they execute their plan. So I think hitting is very tough, and I think the ball is doing different stuff too.
And they're going to do it very quickly, Major League Baseball. They're going to put it in the umpire's hands to take the balls out of play. And this is going to be interesting to see how this works with the umpires controlling it. If you're an umpire, what does an umpire make in Major League Baseball? A couple hundred grand, maybe, something like that. And you're going to go out there and destroy an entire pitcher's career? I mean,
well, yeah. isn't that the game of chicken that is going on now?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, listen, so you're gonna be bold enough. You're going to be the one. Right? Well, somebody's got to do it.
They said it's going to happen in the next 7 to 10 days.
Right.
So all of a sudden they're going to come out like next, on a Thursday next week. All right, starts tonight. Random checks. First off, like, the games aren't long enough. Right?
True. So, oh, my God, I totally forgot about that.
So I don't know how long. Is it like a minute? Like, hey, let me go out there. Let me test your wrist. Let me look at your glove. Let me look at your hat. Oh. Let me look at the back of your neck. Like, where do these guys, on the belt, maybe? You know, so real quick, we're going to do one of those. So, you know, but to me,
it's like you're searching for drugs.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I actually think
that's what it is.
That if you crack down on it or something, if you do these random checks, and you literally, like, don't let somebody do it for a game, I think the players will police themselves. Meaning, I don't think another pitcher or another manager is going to have a problem checking another pitcher if you're not allowed to do it. Because that's all they want. Like, I forget who it was. I think Liam Hendricks was talking about how they want an even playing field. However, if we're not going to do it, you better make sure they don't do it. You know what I mean?
That's when somebody's going to get called out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So now it's like a gentleman's agreement. We're not going to call everybody out because everyone's doing it. But if they say, Alex Cora is like, we're done. All of our pitchers are done. We're done using it. And they're going to say, okay. And the hitter's going to be like, okay, fine. But we better make sure their pitching staff is getting the same memo. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go up there and see this, you know, some guy go into his sleeve or his arm or his wrist and his glove when I know our guys aren't allowed to do it. So they're creating, you know, a scenario where I think other teams will actually, for the first time, rat on another pitcher in opposing team because they're not allowed to do it.
Well, that may be. It just concerns me that guys, some guys are going to get away from it, and it's going to become a bitch fest. You're going to have guys saying, you know, hey, they're cracking down on our guy, but they're doing it. That guy's doing it. That guy's doing it. Because you can't catch everybody.
Right.
You can take 8-10 balls out of every game or whatever, but how many guys are you going to catch? Guys are still going to do it. I think the better way of dealing with this would have been the commissioner, instead of putting it in the umpire's hands, of coming out and saying, gentlemen,
bad guy.
It all ends Friday. After Friday, nobody is allowed to do this. And if it happens, you not only police the pitcher, but you police the ball club as well. You nail the ball club. You do something that's going to take something away from the team. Maybe you start messing around with the draft or something like that.
This is so typical MLB. Like, they just sort of announce it, and everyone's like, okay, so how are we going to enforce it? What's the suspension? What are we doing? Well, we'll figure that out when we get there. Like, really? We'll figure it out when we get there? We don't know if the manager is thrown out. We don't know. They still don't really know.
So how about this one?
So who's to blame? Ultimately, if the pitcher is caught doing something, well, then you got to have to – you can't just play ignorant and act like you don't know anything.
I think you have to blame the ball club as well. The ball club knows it. They're allowing the pitcher to get away with it. So why don't you clamp down? Because Major League Baseball runs all of those teams. That's the league. All they have to do is go and penalize the team as well as the pitcher. Why not? If you just penalize the pitcher.
But that's Major League Baseball. Listen, we're going to write the rules as we go. That is what they do. Yeah.
I like this
tweet from Buster Olney. He says, MLB's hope is that a gentleman's agreement among managers, foreign substances, goes away once umps start checking pitchers. One manager who will not ask for a pitcher to be checked, Alex Cora, who has told his players he will recuse himself from the process given his 20 suspension. So, I mean, you got Cora, like, say, AJ Hinch. You know what I mean? So, Alex Cora, like, we ask him about it. It's like, what's he going to do, make a headline? And be like, yeah, we face this guy. He's cheating. He's not going to call people out because what's the headline going to be? Right. Alex Cora, who's suspended from baseball for an entire year for cheating, calls out a pitcher for cheating, right? So, he's going
to
try
to know one.
Right. He's going to try to stay out of it. But it's like, you know, I don't know. It's if we can't do it, if our starters can't do it, if our relievers can't do it, okay, fine. Even the playing field. Just make sure they're not doing
that,
it.
That
well.
May be the funniest line in the history. The Major League Baseball is talking about honor code and gentlemen's agreement.
Gentlemen's
agreement. A league whose history is all based on cheating and like circumventing the rules.
So we're going to have more unwritten rules for Major League Baseball.
Oh, my God. That's basically what it is. Hey, that's right. You know what? Why don't we have any rules? Because we're the league of unwritten rules. We're just going to suggest it. We're going to hint at it. And we hope that you're an honorable man and follow the rules.
Like I saw something the other day. The Astro guys on Twitter, they're firing back at me because I was ripping their guy for changing his glove. And it had something like the Red Sox, I think, improvement of spin rate from last year to this year was like third or fourth, like as far as improvement goes. And it's like, aha, see?
Coaching.
And I would say, well, yeah, I mean, Richards and Pivetta got a higher spin rate than, say, Zach Godley and Ryan Weber. Like, you know, comparing this year's staff to last year's staff is probably, there's some inaccuracies there, right? Because they're better. But the Red Sox staff, I'm sure, are doing it. I'm sure they are. Like Barnes, I'm sure they are. But why? Because everyone else is. Why wouldn't I do it? Until you tell me I can't, you know what I mean? Why wouldn't I do it? Everyone's doing it. So, I mean, you want me to stop? Fine. Just make sure that their ass is stopping too. I don't know. We'll see what it creates. We'll find out in another week or so.
Well, there's your gentleman's agreement, right? So how about this one? Trevor Bauer's spin rate and fastballs are down 233 RPM since MLB announced they will police foreign substances. The crackdown has begun.
But when did they announce that? They said they're not going to do it for another week, though.
Yeah, when they announced it. Probably after the league, with the owners. So here's Bauer, and he's reacting to MLB cracking down.
Yeah, like I said, I want to compete on a fair playing field. I think everyone wants to compete on a fair playing field. So if they're serious about actually doing something about the rule that's on the books, then that's all I've wanted for 4 years. You know, it's nice to see them finally catching up to something that I've been at least talking to them about for 4 years. So, you know, we'll see what they do. Unfortunately, in MLB, a lot of times nothing gets done until their hand gets forced and it becomes a public issue. Hopefully the game gets cleaned up. That's all that we all want. We just want to know what the rules are and know what's going to be enforced and compete on a fair playing field. And I guess the ball's in their court to see what they actually do about it.
So it sounds to me the only way you're going to get pitchers to go along with it is if you shut down every one of the pitchers from doing it. How do you do that 100%?
Well, it does make you wonder what you're watching right now and who is, you know, legit and who hasn't been doing it for the last 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like even at Bauer, I don't even know if you got the other part too, where that guy's questioning his performance. And he goes, talks about like 2018. I mean, remember Trevor Bauer in Cleveland. I mean, he spent 6-7 years there in Cleveland. And he was a 4.3, 4.4 ERA guy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, 2018, he's a 2.21.
Trevor, just for the record, you know, your spike in spin rate here over the last year and a half, can that be linked at all to you using foreign substances?
Like I said, I've made a lot of public comments. If you want to go research it and make your own decision, go for it.
Okay. And, you know, obviously the Dodgers, you know, made a significant financial investment in you, expecting you to be a pitcher of a certain caliber. You know, going forward from here, if these rules are enforced, do you still feel you can be that caliber of pitcher?
Go look at the 2018 numbers and tell me what you think.
But he's, like you said, he's been talking about it for 4 years. So 2018 was what, 4 years ago? Yeah. 2017, you had a 4.19, then you had a 4.26, then you had a 4.55, then you had a 4.29, then you had a 5 ERA. So, I mean, it's like, what are you? Like, what did we just pay for? You know, I don't know. You know, what are these guys? And including your staff, too. I mean, this one right here. I don't know what these guys are yet. We'll see. Maybe in a week or two, all of a sudden, you know, the end of June, their last two or three starts, everyone's just pitching to a 5.5. You know, everyone, but it's funny because everyone's like, it's ruining the game. Well, guess what happens when your pitcher's stuff isn't that good and they get hit around? Now we're going to go back to the games are too long. Every game's 9-8. This is a bad product. I mean, people are going to bitch no matter what, right?
Yeah, they are.
The guys start getting hit around. You start playing 3.5, 4-hour games because nobody can get anybody out.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, but the idea...
Then what's next?
Yeah, but the idea of Major League Baseball in the middle of a season in June deciding that it's so bad we need to do something about it. Where were they in the offseason? Why weren't they in the offseason sitting there?
Well,
saying,
they abused it.
Right. We got a problem. We got an issue.
You led the Dodgers.
That's where he was in the offseason. And the commissioner, again, has to come down hard on the players and on the teams and say, enough is enough. If you want to wipe it out, it's the only way you're going to do it. This idea of a gentleman's agreement, give me a break.
This whole
you're paid in Major League Baseball to win baseball games. If you're not winning baseball games...
It's not competitive, is it? it's not competitive?
No.
No?
Look at the difference of a free agent pitcher that is successful and how much money he makes versus the guy that's the fifth starter on a team.
Here's how it usually happens. So a lot of these guys have become accustomed to the advantage that they are giving themselves by using this foreign substance. And if their numbers go down and if things don't go well, they will just do it again.
Sure they will.
They will try to get smarter, and then Major League Baseball will be forced to actually put their punishment where their mouth was.
You see the story?
Okay? I don't believe they'll do it.
Sports Illustrated, like how bad it's getting.
Yeah.
Like they had like one example of a ball that was out of play, and they had it in the dugout of a team. And they took the ball, and they placed it on the guy's palm. They didn't wrap their fingers around it. Just placed it on the palm, and it stuck to his palm. You know what I mean? Like it's, and I think you're talking like 80-90% of pitchers in the league. You know, that's why I say I don't know what you do. Maybe you identify one. So I almost feel like pine tar is like it's
bring that back.
It's so elementary, like pine tar. It's like, dude, it ain't pine tar. They're melting coke. Okay, literally melt. They're
Coca Cola.
Yes, Coca Cola.
yes,
Coca Cola. That is. But I mean, it's so much like, okay, we're gonna put a little pine tar rag. And we're going to allow you to just sort of dab your finger in it or something like that. And that's it.
Then you're going to need to regulate how much you dab your finger.
Because I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
Old Coke, new Coke. Which
I don't know. Because
it?
Now, again, it's going to go to, you know, bitching about pitching's dominating and there's not enough offense. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball tries to deaden the ball so there's less home runs, which to me is counterproductive. Right. Now all of a sudden it's going to be like, okay, so now the pitchers are going to go out there and get smacked around here another couple weeks, and you're going to have 3-hour and 45-minute games, and then it's going to turn into baseball's too long, you got a bad product.
I don't understand.
I mean, what are we doing?
Just the inspection process itself is going to lengthen the game.
8 to 10 a game.
I mean, nobody is thinking
is that an extra 15 minutes just for the hell of it?
Probably.
Now, is that like a suggestion or like a rule?
Oh, no, they're doing
each,
it.
Like each umpire needs to get between 8 to 10 in.
They're
like
doing
a cop
it.
With like speeding tickets.
So the starting pitcher, I don't know how you do it. The starting pitcher's like, all right, coming down. No, I'm done with the warm ups. You know, throw it down, whatever. You know, like literally, balls in, coming down. So when he throws his last pitch, the umpire's already out at the mound, and he's like, all right, before we start this game, let me check your wrist, your glove, your hat.
Okay, so turn around.
And what happens?
See, bend over, cough.
And what happens when you toss him? What happens when you toss a pitcher? Guess what happens?
You need proof.
No, a reliever comes into the game who hasn't thrown a baseball yet and needs to spend about 4 minutes getting loose because he wasn't up. And you got to give him as much time as he possibly needs to get ready. So I'm saying this. Get ready for 3:45.
Oh.
4 hour games.
Oh.
I don't know the answer. I'm not saying I know the answer, but I know what's gonna happen. And you're gonna have a pitcher tossed and you're gonna take 5 to 10 minutes to have a reliever come in because he has all the time in the world to get loose.
Well, it's always great to have you here, Lou.
It's an unintended consequence.
Yeah.
But it's just freaking so baseball.
Oh, God.
It's so baseball.
Well, the other thing is you're putting it all on the umpires. You already see it. Each umpire has their own strike zone. And now suddenly you're asking umpires to uniformly go out there and take 8 to 10 baseballs out. I will guarantee you they're going to get so much slack, so much crap coming back from the players and from managers and everything else. They're going to finally sit there and say, why do I need to do this?
I don't understand.
Why doesn't the league do this? I don't need to do this.
There's so many cameras in so many different places. I mean, why don't you save yourself some embarrassment?
They couldn't find the trash cans.
And have one guy with a super high powerful lens that is legitimately just checking everything out. Let the dude finish the inning. Tap the manager on this and listen, he's got to go. He's out. Why? Because I saw this, this, and this, and inside his belt and in his glove. He's out. And then handle it. Like, the fact that the ump is going to have to kind of like, doop-de-doop-de-doop. Oh, sorry, I got to check you again. That's just so embarrassing.
All right, arms up.
All right.
Spread your legs.
Okay, so you said, all right.
Spread your legs.
Anything sharper, in your pockets? All right, take everything out of your pockets.
It's like cops.
All right, put it back in.
But Lou, you said
this. That is what we're talking about. Let me see your glove. All right, let me see anything. Yeah. Anything I should know about? Any drugs? No? Okay.
But Lou said this last week.
Play ball! They
can go out and
do a body check before the game or whatever.
That's going to be played every time.
The pitcher's going to go into the clubhouse and come back out with the stuff.
I play with
this
a guy.
Is what they should do.
I play with a guy before all this went on that had had his jacket in the dugout. He'd come up, whatever, come in, sit down in his jacket, and his right pocket was a pine tar rag. And he'd just have his hand in his right pocket every inning on the bench. And by the time he got out there to throw his warm-ups, by the time the tech threw the ball down, the ball would stick to my glove, and I'd be like, Jesus. And we couldn't wait for the ball to get fouled out of territory because you were afraid it was almost too sticky to even catch the ball and throw it across the diamond. But that was, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, and he was one of the only guys that was really bad with it, but it's getting out of control. And I don't know how you do it. Maybe let the hitters use aluminum bats instead. I have no idea because I don't know how this is going to work. I do think they should get it out. Like baseball, they don't think it through. And you're going to have some really long games when guys get tossed and pitchers aren't ready to throw.
Isn't this proof that like strict rules and regulations are important in any professional sport?
Yes.
I mean, because this is what baseball, what they do, they play it loose. They play the honor code. And guys, okay, you know, understandably, take advantage of it.
Well,
you're not going to watch us? Okay, well, you haven't said anything in 3 years. Hey, really? Nobody's they're doing it, we're doing it, so this is kind of the wild, wild west here that we're all living by.
Christian, they're going to change everything on around June the 15th. It's at the middle of a season.
I love it.
And why wouldn't you talk about this? What they did is they hit it, and they said, no, we don't talk about that. You know, that's the step cousin. We don't talk about that one. And you hide it, and then suddenly it blows up on you, and you sit there and go, we got to do something about it. 7 to 10 days, we're going to have the umpires, and they're gonna check. Come on, this is ridiculous.
What's ridiculous is that Sports Illustrated story we were talking about earlier. Here's a quote from that story. One AL manager suggests a TSA-style screening in the bullpen.
Won't last.
I mean, so you're going to have, like, guys in the bullpen, they come out of the door or whatever it is, and there's like a metal detector version that only kind of detects like pine tar and melted coke and sticky substances and
dogs.
Bullfrog
smelling dogs.
And what about the one when you go to the airport now you have to put your hands up and the air blows everywhere?
That's a good one.
But put that one in there.
Like in this story, they talk about minor league guys. They're like, yeah, I use it. I just want to get to the big leagues. So he says this guy's like, I want to have the best stuff. The guys with the best stuff are using everything. So this guy digs his finger into a team issued. Can of Tyrus and heads to the mound. Tyrus is like a sticky grip. It's like a little can. So, you know, team issued. I mean, really, it's like, it's if you're not using it, you're stupid. Because right now, everyone is, right? So, So how do you do? I don't know.
And like those regulations, I would guess have to start at the minor league system also.
Yeah, they'll bang out the minor leaguers and suspend them because they can.
That's.
Oh, I'm gonna teach you major leaguers a lesson. I'm gonna fine all the guys that aren't making any money.
I know all hell's probably gonna break loose here in about a week, 10 days. I mean, really, you're gonna do a game and umpire's gonna be checking them. And again, like I said, you toss a guy after a warm up pitch, and everyone's down in the bullpen. You bring a starter out, you got to give him as much time as you want to get loose. That's going to be another 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. I mean, you do that once or twice a game until they just stop doing it. Maybe they give them to police themselves because nobody wants to have the advantage. If I can't do it, neither can you.
Come on. You know better. They're not going to police themselves. What will happen, Lou, is they'll only catch so many guys. They'll catch more than they're catching right now because they're not catching anybody, right? They'll catch guys, and other guys will get away with it. But it's like when we were talking about steroids, and everybody said, I don't understand how these players took it. Well, look at certain guys like Jose Canseco and how much money they made versus guys that were
not doing it
in Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
It wasn't against the rules technically, you know, in the game of baseball. There was a lot of people were doing it, and some guys are just like, I need to do it to even get to the big leagues or to make my money or to do whatever. And now it's like, honest to God, if you're a pitcher right now and you got a curveball, like I don't know who wouldn't use it. Maybe a sinker ball or sink split or whatever. But if you're a pitcher and you're not using it, I don't want to say you're dumb, but you're dumb. Because everyone else is. Yeah. Like, why would you have your breaking ball not be as good as possible? Why would you not add extra spin to your fastball so it doesn't drop as like a normal baseball would just because of gravity? You know, it's like staying level, tougher to hit. Like, I don't know. Why would you go out there and get pounded when everyone else is using it and pitching well?
Yeah, this whole idea that they should know better and they shouldn't do this. You tell me, anybody out there who works in any environment, if you could take a special potion and that potion would allow you to make 10 times what you're making right now, you're telling me that you wouldn't do it?
What are the side effects?
side effects of stuff.
Hold on. A bigger nose.
Shower after the game.
You'd lose your hair. So you'd have to go to Dr. Lopresti. He'd have to fix you up.
Okay, it's all fixable. The side effects are fixable.
So you can't blame Major League pitchers for trying to do it. The issue is Major League Baseball needs to shut it down right from the top. This whole idea of handing it over to the umpires?
Yeah, but
anybody think that's going to work?
Angel Hernandez is going to be all over.
But this is just like everything else that they do. They send out a memo. They make sure everybody knows, okay, listen, new set of rules and regulations. Somebody just breaks it, a bunch of them, and then they go, oh, crap. We didn't think they'd force our hand on this. And then the whole league gets embarrassed.
So do they just make an example of one guy?
Somebody, there's got to be a scapegoat. There's got to be somebody that basically falls on it.
Didn't Joe West last week try to get somebody to change their cap?
Gio Gallegos in the Cardinals game. And that he
just
had,
changed his
and
cap.
And they went
it was
ballistic.
Suntan lotion. He had suntan lotion on his hat, and then he had rosin on his arms. I mean, that to me, that's normal.
A 10-game suspension. Basically, if he rats on them, the guy gets a 10-game suspension. Do you think any umpire wants to sit there and be the policeman for the game?
Are
you
kidding me?
I would give the umps like a bonus. If they catch somebody, I would give them like a $10,000 bonus.
A bonus.
You really want to incentivize them to like actually try do this? Like, listen, because I do think you're going to have a set to go out there. Don't you think like you don't want to be like, I don't think any of these umps want to sit there and just like, oh, you know, God, you guys.
Well, that's why Joe West didn't want to throw him out. He just wanted to change his hat.
They know the league works, so they're not trying to embarrass anybody. But don't put the umps in a position.
Now you have to.
Ultimately, Lou, I think you're right, man. This is.
If you're an umpire, you're sitting there going, I'm not paid enough. What the hell am I doing this? I'm becoming the police force for Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. The commissioner can't handle this, and so we have to go and do it. I don't think I'd want to do it. I think you'd probably do what Joe West did. Hey, put the cap on. Get rid of the cap, you know? You try to help the guy out a little bit and tell him to, you know, just to clean it up right now.
Who's this guy in the cars? What's this guy, Steve? What's he talking
about?
You
want to talk to Steve?
Is he calling out Lou?
You want to talk to Steve?
What's he talking about? What's he calling out Lou for?
Hold on, let me go to Steve.
Yeah, we find out what's going on.
I can't even put him up. The thing's not working.
There you go.
Lou's got
hey, Steve, what's up?
It. Steve's in a car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Lou, I'm the umpire when your son's game got rained out the other day.
All right.
We met on the field. I just want to know, if I see you show up on a field the other day, am I going to have to stop patting you down to make sure you don't have any substance?
Don't worry about
to
me.
10-year-old pitches?
You better start searching my 11-year-olds. each of them go to the mound, they put their finger in that can of Tyrus, and we go get them. Hey, sunscreen. Listen, these kids are young.
It's hot.
Okay?
It's a heat advisory.
They're young.
Start them.
I hear you.
Yeah. I'm on my way to go do a game right now, and I'm listening to this, and I'm just laughing. I'm peeing my pants laughing. I'm like, I don't know how to police this.
That might help them out with the fastball.
Well, tell them to put their hands on their head, okay, or take anything out of their pocket.
I was a retired police officer. I feel like I got to put these kids up against the dugout. All right, start them. I
might as well. Put them in a lineup.
All right,
Louse them.
See, he jokes, but what do you think high school kids are doing right now?
Yeah.
Same.
I'm sure they're all doing
it. College kids are doing it.
Same. Lou, I was going to ask, when your kids hit the double,
we had a problem with steroids during the steroid era with high school kids doing it.
No, but I'm serious. Like, you know, we don't think they're sitting there saying, oh, you're reading all these articles and people are like, this is what they use. It's crazy. It's gotten to that point. You're telling me you're in high school, you're a pitcher, you're like, oh, let me see. What's this tire saying? I'm going to order a can. It's like $10 on Amazon.
Ooh,
you know
Pelican
what I mean?
Grip.
I'm just saying, like, it's
Lou knows the price.
Oh, deer antler spray.
I can get a bulk order.
So now we got high school coaches like checking kids because it's out of control.
Well, anything that is going on in the pros, like, it's so obvious. It's too easy. Like, the young kids are doing it. Like, I remember, you guys remember DMSO? You ever heard of DMSO?
Yes. It sounds like a horse.
Yeah. Right? When you put it on, it makes your breath smell like garlic, like strong
it's
garlic.
Awful.
I mean, we found out the LA Rams were doing it, and I don't know who was doing it, but next you know, anyone who had a bruise was putting DMSO on. Some kid got it from some random witch doctor.
Put it on horses.
Yeah. It's like a horse.
You ran faster that day, didn't you?
No, we did not. We all stunk to high heaven.
I'll ride that horse.
I know it stinks.
It's disgusting. You always knew somebody was using DMSO when they got in the huddle and they smelled like garlic. I'm like, please stop breathing.
Yeah.
The
dumbest part of all of this is they're going to put it on the umpires. And if you're an umpire, you're going to sit there. Some of them probably will feel empowered. This will be good.
There's a harder one there somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Ron Culpa, ladies. Yeah.
Right.
Get ready for it.
But most of them are going to sit there and say, I want nothing to do with this. And they're probably going to plead with the pitchers on the side. Hey, listen, do you think I like doing this? I don't want to do this. Because you're going to damage the career. You're going to damage the reputation of the pitcher. You're going to take him away for a 10-game suspension.
You still got a week to 10 days, so all good. Pavetta on the mound today, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Good curveball.
That's right. Here we go. We got Red Sox baseball coming up next.
It's hot, too.
A lot of spin rate.
Heat advisory.
need some lotion.
Red Sox baseball coming up next. The makeup game against the Marlins. We're back tomorrow. A lot of Bruins talk, I'm sure, tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll catch you then right here on OMF. Have a great night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.